Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Listening to the Bournemouth Fan Show on Love Sports Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. That introduction, that entrance can only mean one thing. It is the Cherries takeover for the next 30 minutes on Love Sport Radio, a national station giving you the chance to have your say tonight. It's simple, it's easy. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. Well, I'm absolutely delighted to say it is my pleasure to be once again joined by our Bournemouth's resident correspondent. It is Alex Deutsch. Alex, always a pleasure to get you on and chat everything where the Cherries are concerned. We was going for a good run. Back-to-back wins. Then it was Sheffield United on the weekend. And I'm going to try now to get to the bottom of maybe why it didn't quite come off. And it's just hit me. We did not hear power to send those boys out on Sunday, did we?
No, exactly right. I think we sent the memo across, but they I think they must have just ignored it. I said last week I thought Bramall Lane would be a difficult place to get points, and you know it proved to be right. They are a really good side. They're not where they are in the league through fluke or luck. They're there because you know they've really warranted it. Although we I actually thought the first 30 minutes was some of the best football we've played all season. We managed to find a way to lose. We managed to Bournemouth it, as a saying that we keep revisiting. We just found two lapses in concentration led to two disappointing goals. The second goal was a really, really lovely finish, but you know, as a defender, as a defensive unit, you're going to be disappointed to concede them. It's disappointing, but I'm not sure I'm too disheartened, mainly because of what I saw in terms of performance and the way we were clicking and the chances we created. It took a really good save. I mean, I say really good save. It was just an outstanding save from Dean Henderson to deny Ryan Fraser. And if that had gone in, you know, we might be having a different conversation. So it's all small margins, isn't it? And, you know, they found a way to win and we found a way to lose.
Yeah, small margins in football and in sport, you know. It's just about getting those little lucky breaks. We said on the show, well, you said, Alex, you know, I'm using the royal we there. We said, once we get that first win, you know, we just will see the confidence ooze into the players. Then we were speaking about back-to-back wins. Callum Wilson hadn't scored for 14 games. And he scores, they get the win, they get those back-to-back wins. Then we're seeing that first 30 minutes on Sunday, and it was the only Premier League game, the only action on Sunday. Everyone was watching, even if you wasn't a Bournemouth and Sheffield United fan. And I'm watching the first 30 minutes, I was watching it with a good friend of mine. I'm saying, look, this is unbelievable. I'm saying, you see what wins does, you see what it does for confidence, for momentum. This fan show tomorrow night is going to be incredible. And it was one of those games. Look, Sheffield United, as you rightly said, they're not up there through luck or coincidence. This is a team that now, supposedly people saying they've got a real good chance of European qualification. Always a tough place to go, Bramall Lane. But we can look at it from a positive, and in a case, Alex, we have to. But it was those two back-to-back wins, and even in this game, no points. A very, very good platform and a performance to build on and take forward.
I think so. I think you can't... I guess it is just how you look at life. We can look at the fact that we didn't get 3 points and we desperately need 3 points, and even 1 point would have been really, really helpful. But we can look at overall the sort of overall performance and overall what the players gave, and I thought the players gave it some. I thought Callum Wilson I think that was the best 30 minutes I've seen him have, and actually I think it was one of the best games I've seen him have this season. He terrorised their defence for a lot of the game. Really, I think Chris Wilder said he taught them some lessons, and you know, I haven't said much positive things about Callum Wilson this season. So, you know, that's a positive to take. I think Ryan Fraser was, again, driven and direct. And I thought, actually, Simon Francis, at centre-back, was really strong. If we're going to point out some negatives, and I think we have to, I think my overwhelming negative is the play acting and the way we rolled around the floor with every touch and screamed, and it's quite embarrassing to watch sometimes. And I don't actually think it does us any favours. I think it riles the opposition up, and I think that referees are sort of aware of it now. But even as a Bournemouth fan, some of the rolling around, and you got to look at it, is, you know, how much time did we waste rolling around, holding our shins and holding our heads? And the goal in the second half came deep into injury. Well, I say injury time, there wasn't an injury, but deep into sort of stoppage time, rolling around time. And if they hadn't been rolling around and making such a big deal about it, maybe that time would have been added on, and maybe we could have seen out to half time and had a better platform for the second half.
Well, this is the new one, Alex. We're gonna Bournemouth it in rolling around time.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've developed a bit of a reputation for it. And while I think some of our players' style of play and the way they are so direct, particularly someone like Ryan Fraser, he does get kicked in during a game, and he does get fouled a lot. But Diego Rico let out a scream that, honestly, I was watching on TV. I heard it back in Bournemouth. It was... I used to do amateur dramatics years ago, and I think that would have fit right in, to be honest with you. It was a little bit pathetic, and you could see eyes rolling around. And I just really hope that we can cut that out of our game, because it's embarrassing me.
Where has this seeped into then? Where has this come from? Why is this now, albeit a small part, but still a part of the Bournemouth fabric and the game at the minute?
I don't know. I think... If you sort of study Eddie, I'm not saying this stems from Eddie at all, but if you sort of study Eddie Howe's management philosophy, he is all about tiny margins. He's all about getting, even if he could get 0.5% of a gain, he'll do it. So I don't know if it's that, and if it's a bit of mind games and getting and riling the opposition up and hoping to win free kicks or influencing yellow cards. I don't know. And it's, you know, I support my team passionately, and I back them with pretty much everything they do. But this is just one thing that, particularly against Sheffield United, who, they're a strong side, they're a physical side, and I think a lot of the time we won the fouls fairly, and I say win the fouls fairly. I think that they were tackles that were won authentically, but I don't think that they necessarily needed the six, you know, barrel rolls in order to try and get a yellow card. I just don't think it's a necessary part of our game.
Yeah, and on the game now, because obviously you have moved 2 points clear of the relegation zone, but your rivals will play next week because of the way the winter break is split up. Maybe Brighton and Watford doing you a favour with that point. But Aston Villa, you know, from their perspective, it was a great weekend for them with Bournemouth losing and Brighton and Watford drawing. Where do you think that leaves you, you know, with the teams having a game in hand and you just really resting above the zone at the minute?
I think it leaves us deep in trouble, if I'm honest with you. You look at the run-in. What I'm hoping for is that our home form is consistent and that we can sort of keep it up, because we've got some home games against teams that, yeah, you know, it's arrogant to suggest that we should be beating anyone in this league, but we've got home games against teams that you would hope we could at least put up a bit of a game against. I think we've got Leicester at home, who are a brilliant side, but we have beaten in the past and we have given them a game. I think we've got Newcastle at home. We've got Chelsea at home, who we've already beaten once this season. And we have, I think we've got Tottenham home as well, who we don't know where they're going to be mentally at that stage of the season. You don't know what they're going to have to play for, if they're going to be sort of in the mix, or if their season's going to be over. So these are sort of small threads of hope I'm clinging on to, if I'm honest with you. I think they'll be up for the Burnley game, I think, because of the history of sort of Eddie and his time up there. And, you know, maybe after a little bit of a rest and they'll go and sum themselves up on holiday, maybe they'll come back and give it some on against Burnley.
Yeah, it's interesting, the away form, Alex, because obviously it's 7 out of the last 8 they've lost now, and the last 4 they have lost. We know the back-to-back wins were at home. Why is there been, or why is there a difference with a team in that home and away form? Why can't they sort of replicate that on the road and on their travels?
It's because they don't play power at the start of the games.
Why did I even ask?
If I'm honest with you, I think if I could answer that, I think the club would get me in and I could be a very rich man. I don't know. I think the club generally are supported really well by away fans. I think the support is relentless at away games. The fans travel, you know, if you look at our location on the map, they I think we clock a lot of miles during our season, and you know the support during the games. Even Sheffield United the other day, you could hear us on the TV and we were giving it some, and it was a hell of a long way to go. But in terms of just mentality in football, I don't know. I don't know. I think the atmosphere over the last couple of games, Brighton and Villa, I think you have to factor in how good the atmosphere was and whether it gave those players that extra percentage and that extra margin of gain that I was talking about earlier. But I don't know why the football differs as much as it does home and away.
Yeah, it's such an interesting one. It is a $1 million question. That's why we can't answer it. And maybe the manager doesn't even know why the players don't replicate their form. One player I did want to talk about and his form, because you mentioned it, Ryan Fraser, you know, really better since obviously him coming out and saying his comments, saying his head was turned, and now he's back and fighting for the cause. He had that brilliant chance saved by Henderson. Henderson's getting a lot of love for England and praise, but someone who was getting a lot of love as well, and I want to see what you make of it and how do the Bournemouth fans feel, Ramsdale, because he's another one who's also maybe potentially getting England recognition also.
Oh, he's excellent. He's absolutely brilliant. And he has been, even at the sort of the worst times this season, for me, he's been the highlight of the season. I had a bit. I was looking at the squad before the first game of the season, and I thought it was an extremely brave move to not sign a recognised keeper, but an experienced keeper. We were linked with Jack Butland for $25 million, I think, and that didn't go through. And Eddie opted to start Ramsdale, and he's been incredible. He's genuinely won us points by himself at times, and. I mean, it's difficult to compare Dean Henderson and Ramsdale. That save that Dean Henderson made was absolutely phenomenal and won them points. And, you know, there will have been elements of the passage before out the goal we conceded, our first one, the Billy Sharp one, that Ramsdale would have hoped he would have done a little bit better. But overall, I mean, he's had a brilliant, brilliant season, and he is being linked with England, and he's being linked with the Euros, and I think rightly so. I think he is one. I think it's a really exciting time for English goalkeepers. Actually, I don't remember having such a coming up to a tournament and having such an exciting choice of decent young British goalkeepers.
Yeah, England certainly do. A wealth of options as Jordan Pickford's place as number one maybe is under threat, but we're keeping it Bournemouth because we're going to look now to how the Cherries will be spending that winter break, but hopefully a few players coming back from injury. Eddie Howe recently done an interview, and I want to get Alex's thoughts on it.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Bournemouth Fan Show on Love Sports Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined by my co-host, Alex Deutsch. It is the Cherries takeover. And remember, you can have your say. Put a question to Alex. What are you making and what did you make of yesterday's game against Sheffield United? Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. Just before we move on from that game, Alex. Two quick notes from it. I have to bring it up because I absolutely love your Twitter. I check your social media, and you were making me laugh about what the commentators were having to say when mentioning Billy Sharp. His first goal was against Bournemouth on the opening day. Now he pops up for his second, and they were saying a few things like that, and then seemingly it was going on to happen, and you weren't best pleased.
No, it's really annoying. We seem to we seem to just have a habit of either sparking people's records or beginning them. Yeah, it's amazing. It could be a stat like, you know, Stoke haven't won in the south of England since 1991, and they'll come and play us and they'll win 3-0. We seem to do it. We are the masters of it. So I wish they'd sort of manipulate the stats a little bit and turn them around so they're in our favour. You know, I'm sure there'll be some sort of stat that they could dream up about the Burnley game, which means that we'll end up winning 8-0 or something. It'd be really good. But yeah, they all seem to be just the stats that go against Bournemouth that favour the other side that always seem to come to fruition, and I wish they would just stop.
It always feels like that. I think every football fan, though, at their club feels like the stats are against them. Then it goes on to happen. It did make me laugh, though, seeing you tweet that. Another incident from the game, and it's one we spoke about last week because, as I alluded to earlier on in the show, Ryan Fraser and him saying, you know, the move and it turned his head, he wasn't at his best. We know on deadline day, Man United came in for Josh King. He came on to appear off the substitutes bench on the weekend. We're hoping that we don't see a similar thing with him, obviously not getting the move that he wanted, but still being able to put in the performances. What did you make of him?
Yeah, I think it was a bit. I don't think we can take too much from the small amount of time he was on the pitch. I mean, he didn't have the impact he already would have wanted, but I don't know if he had just come back from a 5 or 6 week absence from hamstring injury, so I'm going to give him a bit of the benefit of the doubt there with the sort of the impact he made. I think Joshua King is realistic in how we had to approach that. I think he understands the club's position. We weren't going to let him go for a fiver. He's an important player for us, and it was a last minute bid from them, and by all accounts and from what I'm reading, we weren't exactly saying no, you definitely can't go. We're saying you can go, but we need a reasonable figure for you. We need what you're actually worth. And if you're a footballer and I imagine it can do quite a lot for your confidence to say this is what we value at, this is how important you are, and this is what other clubs should be paying for you. I think that he will still give it some. I hope he does. And, you know, I certainly don't think it's caused any sort of bad blood between him or the club. I think it was a dream move for him. And sometimes these things just don't happen. But he's the sort of player that will fight and make them come back with a £70 million bid in the summer.
Yeah, Alex, I make Bournemouth right, and it's something they've always done well. The player can go, but they have a price. If, you know, we want to lose one of our assets, we want to be handsomely rewarded with a nice figure to compensate us for that. On Eddie Howe, though, he's done an interview in the last week, the last few days, and I know you thought it was one of the most honest and refreshing interviews you've ever seen. I really enjoyed watching it, but one of the remarks he did make, it was just incredible, really. His journey, his rise, was that he actually turned down the job. He was worried, obviously, and Adam Murray convinced him to take it, and now look where we are now, as he often gets called Mr. Bournemouth.
Yeah, I mean, the entire story is amazing. The fact that the fans raised all that money to bring him back, and the fans had no real guarantee that he'd come back as any sort of in the same sort of standard as when he left. But yeah, he's repaid that money. I can't remember how much it was. I think it might have been 25,000. I think he's repaid that money in the work that he's given and what he's done. And it's just another reason why I found these Eddie out claims and Eddie should be fired shouts from our own fans at times quite ridiculous. it got to a point during the sort of miserable before our Brighton win where, you know, I could understand why a fan from another club might think it. I think if there was any other club who went through the spell that we did, the manager would be asking some serious questions. But we're not any other club, and that's something that I'm really proud of, that we didn't just give up on him. And actually, when you look at how these players are working for him, and you do look at the upturn, that the result on Sunday was disappointing, but the upturn in the effort and the performances from that Brighton game, you know, I think I'm just proud that they stuck by him, because I think he's earned it, hasn't he?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. He is Mr. Bournemouth, and you know, even he was questioning himself at one point, and look at the turnaround now. We know that Bournemouth are needing not a miracle, but sort of to pull it out of the bag. If there's one man you want, one magician you want, it is Eddie Howe. It's the winter break now, obviously, for Bournemouth. They played yesterday, so now it's their turn. So have a few days off, a little bit of respite from the rigours of training and games, and maybe just to mentally refresh in what will be the, you know, a crazy, frantic end to the season. How have Bournemouth said they'll be spending it? Is it a warm weather training camp or a few days with the family, or will they stay at base? What have you heard, Alex?
I've just off the back of a lot of the players' Instagram, and someone tweeted the other day, does a player really go to Dubai unless they put it all over their Instagram? And
it's not true if it's not on the gram. Everyone knows this.
Exactly that. So, by from what I can see, quite a few of them have gone out and gone and had family holidays and things like that. I don't know where I've never had, I don't think I've ever experienced a winter break before in football. So, you know, I have to wait and see how they come back. And it'd be really nice if they came back and they were refreshed. I hope it doesn't sort of distract them from what their goal is and what their aim is. I think there can be a danger that, you know, regardless of Bournemouth's future and Premier League survival, a lot of these players will continue to earn a vast amount of money for a long period of time. And sometimes I wonder if lying on a beach in Dubai is a reality check or not. And I think potentially not. But, you know, I don't know. They could come back and be fresh-legged and ready to go. I think possibly the best thing about this break is that it gives a chance for our injured players to make even more of a further strides towards recovery without having to sort of lose a game in the process. And the one I am pinning my Bournemouth survival hopes on is David Brooks, who by all accounts isn't far away. He's back in training, and the kid's a wonder kid, so maybe he can save us.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. I think next week we can look at David Brooks more, because he's been such a big loss this season, his injury. And they really have had some injury problems. Alex, I want to look at that and the winter break, because maybe one factor of the winter break that we're forgetting is that they have it second. So the other teams will play next week, and then they'll play the week after. So maybe Bournemouth will come back feeling fresh and rejuvenated, but only time will tell. Once again, Alex, a real highlight like to be joined with you and to do this show with you. Please check out Alex for all extra Bournemouth content, just as I do. It helps me get through the show, and hopefully not only will Power be playing us out, it will be playing Bournemouth out to their next victory. And you can catch us, as you can every Monday, 10:30 to 11 on Love Sport Radio with the Bournemouth Fan Show. Me, Charlie Hawkins, and my co-host Alex Deutsch. We will see you next week.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.